And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Excited today. We have lots to talk about. And joining us with the latest Stars news from the Jim Nill press conference today and more, it's our very own Sean Shapiro. You can catch Sean from his Substack, Shap Shots. Always great writing. Highly recommend it, as well as Elite Prospects, who he writes for, as well as D Magazine, and the YouTube channel that him and Robert co-host called Algorithmically Incorrect. And boy, what a guest list. Once again, it happened again yesterday. So we'll talk to Sean about that. But I would highly recommend just go to YouTube. And you know you're subscribed to some things. Support Sean and Robert by clicking on the follow button for Algorithmically Incorrect. The other way you can support us here at Spits and Suds is by supporting the on-time experts. As I've said, and I've been checking out some new restaurants as a foodie, and the first thing I look at is how many stars do they have in the comments below. So I'd highly recommend you go to theontimeexperts.com and look at the reviews. 4.8 out of 5 stars with nearly 6,000 reviews. And I will tell you, my experience was an absolute gem. I've had them at the house twice, once for plumbing and once because my master bedroom's temperature was different than the rest of the house. So they figured out the issue and they also gave me some recommendations and tips, and the cost wasn't that high. The bottom line is the on-time experts wants me and wants you as a customer for life. You hear me talk about the specials, the $59 first-time customer complete HVAC cleaning. Get rid of that dust. Get rid of that debris. Put years back on your AC system. And here's the best part. It'll probably save you money on your energy bill this summer. And then that first-time customer first floor drain cleaning. Those drains will drain fast after the on-time experts leave your house. And by the way, when they leave their house, they're going to ask you, because they've asked me twice now, are you completely satisfied? And I am. Go to theontimeexperts.com. That's theontimeexperts.com. And we bring in our stars and NHL insider. What a day to have him on. Sean Shapiro. Man, I was ready to all talk about the new PWHL team in Detroit, and Jim Mills press conference happened. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Gavin. I'm good. As you said earlier this week, I got to was at the PWHL presser here in Detroit. Yeah. To kind of more hockey to cover is always fun for me. That's enjoyable, and it's kind of it's been a week since the Stars season ended now, right? So we're kind of diagnosing all of that, and honestly, seen a lot of stuff people have talked about, for better or worse, in the past 7 days. And what better person to chat with than you about it today? So I'm excited to be here.
Well, absolutely. And let me just throw this out there, Sean, before we get into Jim Nill. So I love that Stars fans are, I love the dialogue and how it's been ramped up, because there's an urgency for Stars fans. That's a good thing. We talk about that on the show, that it's always a good thing. The more chatter means that, the more popularity of the team. But I just put out there today, like, I was watching the Michael Bunting exit interview, and I said, you know what, for the right price, no, I'm not going to pay Michael Bunting $4 or $5 million. But if he takes a lesser contract, absolutely, I would be interested. Well, boy, did I hear from Stars fans, Sean. And basically they said, there's no room. There's no room. You can't do that. You have to sign Robertson. There's no room. And I thought it was a good question to pose to you. There's always room if you want to make room, if you want to make hard decisions. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I agree with that. That is a... if you want to... There have been hard decisions made by this franchise before, right? Like, one of the quote-unquote... glory sessions of Stars hockey for a little bit was the Joe Pavelski time, and there was the very tough decision to buy out Val Nichushkin, right? That was a tough decision when it happened. Yes. There was tough decisions made when they let Matt Zuccarello walk after his what looked like a pretty good kind of fit in Dallas, right?
Yep.
So there's room to make things work, and I know it's easy for people to get locked into ideas and everything like that, but Every offseason tends to have a twist and turn that isn't expected. And I would use that. I would caution that, because there's a couple key factors. There's obviously the Robertson deal is huge. The Robertson deal, I think, I personally would imagine the Robertson deal is either... I don't think this gets to July 1 for Jason Robertson. So I want to be kind of my personal take, view, opinion, whatever terminology you want to use. I don't think this gets to July 1. I think Robertson gets signed before the draft. And if there was ever a world where the Stars would trade Jason Robertson, and obviously it's there's if there was ever a world where the Stars would trade Jason Robertson, I feel like the draft would probably be the time and place, or whatever you want to call it, for when that might happen. I don't think they are. I want to be very clear. I don't think they are, but I'm just setting kind of timelines of what people can kind of expect in my mind of next six weeks, we should know what Jason Robertson's deal looks like. And I think the Stars want that done before July 1 so they can plan on everything else.
Absolutely. And let me give you a stick tap real quick, because I'm going to make the disclaimer for you. Sean likes Jamie Benn. but credit due, and this is what this program's all about. We have had some candid discussions about Jamie Benn. And today's focus, I don't want to necessarily talk about Jamie Benn, the player, but the organization. And Gullitson came out, and today Jim Nill came out and says, I want him back, and we're not going to make a change, you know, as captain. I guess my point, to sum it up without being long-winded, is like, I feel as though Jamie Benn should be treated well, and he has been treated really well in this organization. I just feel as though there's a little bit of a red carpet being thrown out, and I don't necessarily know if that's needed at this point.
Yeah, it's his career is great. I truly believe 14 should be in the rafters. I think take nothing away from his career, but I said it after the show last week, and I keep seeing it over and over again, and it's the whole, I just wonder when somebody is going to be the adult in the room on this deal and say, you know what, it's time to move on. And like, I'll even go this far, right? Like, I think Jamie Benn is a viable NHL forward for 31 of the 32 teams next year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think he would be a good fourth line forward. And I keep seeing there's a Stars loyalty perspective from Jim Nill here of Jamie's going to be a star till the end. And I can't help but wonder twofold on this, Gavin, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. I don't know what Tom Gilardi thinks on it, but I obviously know Tom Gilardi and Jamie Benn have a little bit of a checkered past, some publicly, some not so publicly, right? Is Tom Gilardi not stepping in as the adult on this situation because of how the Mike Modano stuff ended?
That's a great question.
And I don't know. I'm throwing that theory out there.
It's a good theory.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Because we unfortunately see the sentiment toward Mike Modano now, where the guy can't even post anything without being called a traitor.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we might think, oh, that's just people, but that does get back to organizations sometimes. I agree with you. I'm 100% in your camp, Sean. Like, this is not a shot at the player. And you're right. If he's in the rafters, I want to be the first in the stands or in the press box, like on my feet, because he deserves it. I just feel as though, and Jim Nill said, you know, we're going to make some changes. And I look at this roster and I'm intrigued. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I also want to know, okay, what changes can be made? Because he doesn't want to overhaul it. And I agree with him. And I think you agree with him too, Sean, but I feel as though running it back isn't necessarily, you know, the answer for the fan base and to get over the hump.
Well, and I use this argument, running it back. I don't think there's equivalent to a couple things, right? Like you can't run it back. You have to make some changes, but you can't move 14 guys.
Right.
Right. Like that's the whole thing, right? You can't move 14 players. And so I was thinking about this and I was talking to my editor over at D Magazine, Mike Pellucci, and him and I are chatting later tonight, kind of about what angle maybe to write about this. But him and I were chatting on the phone earlier today of like, I don't know how, like if you were to task me with making it work with Jamie Benn still on this team, I struggle to see the solution. And the it's just like the same reason that coaches have such high turnover in the NHL. It's hard to fire 22 players, right? You can't fire 22 players. And so you talk about running it back and culture change and everything like that. You can move Radek Foxa, you can move Ilya Lyubushkin, you could do that, right? But is moving two or three guys that are depth veteran pieces on the roster really going to do that much if this room and this team still follows Jamie Benn to the end of the earth? It's the whole, like, what's the internet meme where it's like, I follow this team to hell and back, I just wish they would stop going there, right? Like that, and that's what Jamie Benn has done with this team, right? It's been three straight playoffs where his play has declined, the penalties have been egregious, and that team and no one in that room has had the air or space to step in. I thought last year was the perfect segue opportunity. They obviously reached the Western Conference Final. Mikko Rantanen is clearly becoming the alpha in that room. And then they run it back with Jamie. And there was kind of, I don't know, I don't think there might have been a little bit of some opportunity for players to step into a leadership role when he was out early in the season with the collapsed lung. Obviously a horrible thing to deal with. But when it came back to playoff time, everyone in that room looks to what 14 does. Everyone in the organization looks to what 14 does. The best example of this, Gavin, is from a Stars perspective, and it's one of those things that I go to is, do you remember the year, and once again, he's a Hockey Hall of Famer, Foster Hewitt Award winner, great at his job, one of the all-time greats as a broadcaster. Do you remember Ralph? Those two would not like me bringing that up for them putting their names together. But do you remember Razor's year as a play-by-play guy?
I do.
It was not good.
Right.
It was not good. And somebody had to step in. I believe it was either Jim Lights or ownership. I don't know exactly who, but somebody from the business side had to step in and say, look, you are a superstar as an analyst. Play-by-play ain't your thing. And that's what happened. And they ended up and it ended up being creating such a great broadcast the Stars have. I think for Stars Land, that's a great way to put it that where from a Jamie Benn perspective, they should roll out the off-ice job red carpet. You know what? They should say, you know what? Hey, it's been a great career. You will always be part of this franchise. We could even retire. You could even retire 14 on October. I guess the season starts late September this year. So you could even be like, we're going to retire 14 on September 28th of this year, or something like that. Right.
Right.
Just like, I would be so cool with that. That would be great. But the way you keep kind of pushing this down as a player is completely getting lost in the moment and getting lost in the nostalgia. It's time to move on from it. And I've kind of resigned myself to the fact where I assume he will be back.
Yep.
I'm assuming he will be back because it's going to be his choice. And I don't think he's someone who's going to step away from the game without someone telling him it's time to step away from the game. And I really, really struggle to see how this group can be anything other than running it back if you stick with the same with him and what's been happening at the end of his career. It's really a shame. I've said it before. It's a shame on how they've dragged his legacy down, because if he had walked away from the game or walked away from the Stars 2 years ago, yes, it would have been awkward to see him playing for a Florida or a Vancouver or something like that. But you always would have known, hey, that guy was a lifetime star, lifelong star. It was time to move on. And someday we'll, thanks for the memories. Now it becomes, well, damn it. What's going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, Sean, and I don't expect him to do this, but what you said, I think would actually go a long way with the fan base if he said, I am going to return, but here's the thing. I know I'm not the same player. In fact, if I'm not playing well, it's my job as the captain to do what's best for the team. If they want to healthy scratch me. Like if he said that, then okay. But you're right, because that takes the pressure off the coaches and that takes the pressure off the organization, because what you said, I just keep thinking about it. And, you know, they talked about it. They brought you up on DLLS's show of what you said, because I think it resonates with a lot of people. Are you willing then, if you bring him back, to healthy scratch him? And that is fascinating.
It is funny how I just can't help with the gallows humor, Gavin. It is funny how your points and knowledge are still used on a show, even when they've decided they didn't want to be around. So I will allow me a quick sour grapes moment on that. So.
I understand. That, warranted, my friend. You were really good.
Yes.
that is great. Hey, a couple of notes too, because I know Stars fans, we all want to play GM this time of year of what to do. So a lot of people have mentioned Roope Hintz, Sean, and to understand Roope's new deal has a no movement clause. That doesn't mean it's like the end all, but you have to ask the player permission. The other thing a lot of people are saying, well, all right, just move on from Tyler Seguin. If you go into the weeds with Tyler Seguin, which I think it's important to do here on Spits and Suds, if the Stars were, let's say, to buy them out, this is not your typical like, oh my goodness, that will open up 4 or 5 million. If you buy out Tyler Seguin, your savings will be a whopping $666,000 and you tack on $333,000 in 2027-28. So, I mean, there's no sense buying him out. Let's hope Tyler Seguin gets healthy and puts up a decent season in what looks to be his final year as a Dallas Star.
Yeah, like I think his return. I know people have talked about, hey, he shouldn't be back, or you can have whatever take you want on that. But to me, his return and kind of handling of the leadership could honestly be that soft like transition period for to the next leadership group. And Tyler Seguin to me isn't the problem.
Right.
It's Tyler Seguin isn't the problem. The biggest problem is you got to figure out what you're doing when you have a fourth line player you can't scratch. And that let's use Esa Lindell for example. He's one of your assistant captains, a leader. Wears a letter on your team, one of your leaders. Soft spoken, quiet type and everything like that. Esa has a little bit more bark to him. I know that. I've talked to people who have talked about kind of his role at Hockey Finland before. He has a little bit more bark to him than people realize. But Esa is never going to upset the balance and speak over Jamie Benn, right? And that's not Jamie Benn going and saying, you don't speak. It's just the reality of how, of just the vacuum that can't be filled. I mean, honestly, Gavin, we both know who the true captain of this team should be.
Yes.
But he plays a position that he's not allowed to be.
Right.
Right.
That's like, correct. Yes.
Jake Oettinger should be the captain of this team.
Yes.
He is the conduit that connects all the locker room groups. He is the person that takes responsibility for his actions. He should be the captain of the Stars. And maybe that's the play. Maybe you just, you let Jamie walk and you're like, you know what? We're going no captain, and this is a recognition of how important Jake Oettinger is to our leadership group. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've had debates with some people, like Mike McKenna, a former longtime AHL goalie, he's had a cup of coffee with the Stars, always pointed out to me that, and it hasn't been since the 1971 or 72 Bruins, Gavin, was the last team to win a cup without a captain, right? So it's been like 50 something years since a team's won a cup without a captain, or even longer. Math is not the strong suit today, but so maybe you do need a captain, but maybe it's Jake Oettinger as the de facto captain. And you have a Wyatt Johnston wearing the C as the person who's standing there with him and everything. I don't know, but like, I think that's important. That's a path you have to explore. So,
yeah. Interesting. Like, if it's not Jake Oettinger, I would like to see kind of a drastic change. I just wonder after a full year in Dallas, if Mikko Rantanen doesn't necessarily, like, you know, becomes more outspoken.
Well, and he handles the, like, he handles
the bridge
well, them. And he handles the responsibility well. Like, I want to be clear on that, right? Like, I think Rantanen does a really good job of captaincy is not just an in-room position. It is also a vital marketing arm as well, right? And I think Mikko Rantanen handles that extremely well. Mm-hmm. And so I think he should be the captain of your team. It's kind of his group now, because I think he's got that persona. And I just think there's a couple other guys that can be part of your leadership, but don't really have that command of the room. Like, think about your station, Gavin, right? And you think about the different dynamics of how shows work and back end things and everything like that. There's an understanding of roles, and there's an understanding of space and openness and when people can speak or not speak and everything like that. Like, and if you don't have a proper balance for that, even if there's not a posted like rule about it, you're never going to solve. You're never going to give people a space to grow. Like, I want to know what Wyatt Johnston's like when I'm fascinated. Can Wyatt Johnston be your future captain? I don't know, but I don't think it can. I don't think it works if you still have your however long James been here now as taking up the air in the room. That's just the reality. So,
yeah, no, I totally understand. In the NBA last year, it was the conspiracy theories were out that the NBA said, thank you for trading Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers. So let's give you the number one pick. Which leads us to the NHL. And after a very, very tough media day, mm-hmm. which, by the way, let's start with that. Let's start with that, because we have limited time. So let me give you my opinion, Sean, and please disagree with me, because this is what I love about you. Are a guy that's been in tons of press conferences.
Yeah.
The first question asked, I thought, was viable from the reporter regarding the new Leafs GM. But I felt as though the follow-up was more opinion-based. Well, I've talked to so-and-so.
Yeah.
I've always felt as though save that for your article or podcast or talk show. That's when you can explain and say, here's why I asked this question and I disagree because of this, not in the press conference.
And that piece did not, end up like, hey, I interviewed, like, that question froze. Like, I interviewed 20, I talked to 20 people and 19 thought he was a con man and a snake and everything like that. And there was, to be a bit honest about it, like, I actually went and read the article just because that's, I'm like, okay, that part wasn't in the article even. Like, wow. In the column that followed, like, that part wasn't even in there. And so I struggle with the way that kind of went down. I don't think, like, I think Toronto made a horrible, I think the Chyka hire is a bad hire for this reason, Gavin.
Yep.
I think this is a business where you need to be able to cooperate and work with the other 31 GMs. And if they don't like you, it's going to be, your job is going to be much harder. And so whether he's the right hockey mind or not for this, to me, that's not the bigger question. The bigger question is, can he work in a room where no one trusts him? It doesn't matter whether you trust him or not. And that's going to be an interesting case study for the Toronto thing, because, and then they go and win the lottery, right? It has such Mavericks vibes to it after the whole Luka Cooper flag stuff and everything.
Absolutely. And the question, like, from a Stars perspective, I'm like, did you interview Scott White maybe? Like, if I'm Toronto, I'm looking at Dallas as far as what they're building. Rich Peverly grew up just outside of Toronto. He grew up in Kingston. So, you know, I mean, those kinds of, you know, things, I mean, I'm always fascinated by.
Yeah, and like, Jen Chaika has been running Wendy's for the last 5 years. Not like, like I'm being facetious, but I'm not at the same time. Like, go look it up. Like he literally works in like global Wendy's expansion.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And then they fall into the, wow. I mean, immediately I just thought of an Odd Man Rush featuring Gavin McKenna and Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the McKenna hype is going to be super interesting with what happens there, especially because he's someone who's another case study for what happened with him going to college hockey and everything like that. Like, I truly believe he would have had numbers that would have been crazy, even crazier, if he had stayed in the WHL. But so, like, anyone I've talked to, the folks I work with over at Elite Prospects, obviously Ivor Stenberg is a good player and everything like that, but anyone who's not taking Gavin McKenna number one is overthinking this, and he's going to be he's going to score a lot of points in this league.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All right.
I do want to talk about Gavin. Yeah. I do want to bring something. I do want to throw something on your plate. So I want to talk
about
this because it's one of the things that's been popping up, and I've been seeing the, we kind of touched on it earlier with the Jason Robertson. If something's going to happen, I think a deal will be in place before the July 1st, and is my gut feeling on it. But I do want to go down the quick kind of path here, Gavin, because I've seen some, I don't know, bad faith calls and arguments on what to trade Jason Robertson for. Because I think we can all agree that no player is untradeable. Wayne Gretzky got traded 3 times, right? From Edmonton to LA, LA to St. Louis, and was it St. Louis to New York, or just either way. If you're trading Jason Robertson, you are doing it for capital and players that continue to help you. You aren't doing it for, you're not doing it just to be like, oh, well, here, we're going to take the cap space, right? Like, you have to actually get the quote unquote haul, right? Like, people. And so I also wonder, what would the haul even be for Jason Robertson, Gavin? And I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but like, the offer sheet would be 4 first-round picks. I don't know what team, I don't know what GM is willing to part with 4 first-round picks.
Exactly.
And if you're Jim Nill, you kind of start there. If someone says, hey, we want Jason Robertson, you're like, oh, well, why don't you just go offer sheet him? You can get it for, we'll take the 4 firsts. And then it turns into a game of cat and mouse of like, what are you going to offer me instead? I think there's been a lot of bad faith arguments about the Robertson trade stuff and people not understanding, people who even cover the team who are treating it like, well, we can just more grit. And also, like, what do you expect? Like, the dude was like, Jason Robertson was the only player that scored in the playoffs, right? I heard an argument on a show the other day. I think it was the sheet with Jeff Merrick, where it was like, oh, but he didn't score any big goals. The dude scores like 6 goals in a series, and he's the only one scoring, but they're not big goals, right? Like, what's the?
I think it's safe to say, based on the track record of numerous years, he is one of the elite goal scorers in the league. I think that's a very fair, because if you look at top goal scorers in the league year after year, Jason Robertson's up there.
Yeah, he 100% is. And it's, so I just, it's worth.
Yes.
I don't like calling people out or going down this route of telling somebody else they're right or wrong or anything like that. But it's kind of frustrating from a Stars, like, I know many Stars fans, and Robert and I have heard them speak and everything like that, and you've heard them speak and everything, and it can be frustrating when you hear kind of what feels like a bad faith look at it, where it's like the Jason Robertson trade, like them bringing, and also to go back to the point you started the show with, them bringing back Michael Bunting or not is not going to determine whether Jason Robertson signs or not. It's not going to be like, if they sign Michael Bunting tomorrow to $1.2 million or something like that, right? It's not going to be like, oh, well, sorry, Jason, you can't stick around. No,
exactly.
That's not what's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
All right. I didn't know whether to do this solo or ask Sean Shapiro. So as we leave, and you can tell me that's it for today, Sean. From medical doctor Mark Klee, have you broke down of Stars what it would take to actually get Connor McDavid, or will you? And I think that's a good question. Like, what would it take? Is it all realistic? Would it help? What would they have to give up? So it was kind of the reason it was fascinating, Sean, is it sent me down a rabbit hole of past enormous deals, which I found in itself pretty fascinating, not necessarily just from a Stars perspective, but what was given up for the greats of greats to make this, trade. Yeah. And I was just thinking, like, okay, I'll play for a second. Jason Robertson, Liam Bischel. And I'd have to come up with some, I don't have the draft capital, so I don't know if I can pull it off.
I don't think I have two thoughts on Connor McDavid and the Stars, and I want to be clear on it. I'm actually not ruling out Connor McDavid and the Stars in the long term. I want to be very clear in the long term, because I believe that this is a team that if the Edmonton Oilers don't win the Stanley Cup in the next 2 years, on that McDavid bridged the Oilers, right? You give him a 2-year deal, and so I think McDavid is going to play out those final 2 years in Edmonton, and then hit free agency as a 31-year-old. If he goes to free agency, I think the Stars would be right amongst the top 4 or 5 teams that he would consider signing with, and that to me is I don't see the. I struggle with the return and the reality of it all happening via trade. I just think there's so many moving pieces. The Stars, do you, and then like McDavid also has the full no move clause, right? And you got to think, like, I do think McDavid is going to, while it might be frustrating and he might want to get traded at some point in the next 2 years, doesn't a future, if he was going to be to pick his next location, wouldn't it be a lot more fun picking and say it was Dallas or anywhere else, but let's just use Dallas because this is a Stars show. Aren't the Stars a lot more attractive if Wyatt Johnston is his second line center as opposed to having traded for him?
Yeah.
I think part of the McDavid gambit or play is he holds all the cards. I think even if he does get traded in the next couple of years, I don't think he will sign an extension. I think there's a player empowerment place for him on July 1st, 2028. And if it goes to that, I think the Stars would definitely be in the running. But and So
you pointed out in one of your articles that I think is really important, because no one else pointed this out. When Chris Tanev was contemplating as a free agent, you brought up the tax implications because he had never had full-time residence or residence in America. Yeah. So there would be a huge tax. Wouldn't that apply to McDavid as well?
It would, but there's...
$20 million would say otherwise.
I mean, Chris Tanev is... that happens to any player. Like Mitch Marner left Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Chris Tanev was 35 years old. I think he's 36 now. Was 35 years old and had dozens of years of NHL earning and was signing his final deal, right? Like he signed his next deal through his 40-year-old season, right? Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid is, and Chris Tanev signed for $4.5 million. Connor McDavid is going to make at least triple that on his next deal, in my assumption. So I think there's a difference. It's the same reason, Gavin, when the money gets large enough, like, why don't the Cowboys have to trumpet the no state tax thing when they're signing NFL free agents, right? NFL money is so big that it doesn't really, the state tax part doesn't really matter anymore, right? So I think it's kind of the implications for Chris Tanev aren't the same for McDavid for that reason, but it's a fair point. But Mitch Marner ended up leaving Toronto and went to Vegas, and obviously a tax-free state, and I'm sure there was some contract, some money finagling he had to figure out.
Well, there you go. It is the quickest 30 minutes in podcasting. And man, and by the way, Sean, I'm currently in Tucson, Arizona. My hope was to do some scouting for the Tucson Roadrunners. Yep. At least that's what I'm telling the ladies in the bars. But what actually is happening is a little golf getaway.
Nice.
And through four holes, I was ready to quit the game. And then on the back nine, an absolute heater took place. And boy, I just felt like the birds were coming out of the cactus to watch. I mean, I just felt, you know, and as amateur athletes, when we have a run, man, I can understand how professional athletes get that adrenaline flow, because Sean, as a golfer yourself, when you play well, like you feel those no hitter nerves.
Mm-hmm. Not to brag about our amateur sports accomplishments, but I will right now. We had the Anchorman won 2-0 last night, so we had there's no one else in the building other than the people playing, the scorekeeper and the referees, but you're leading 2-0 and you're in that spot and you love it because that's what the pressure does, but you're like, this is why you still kind of go play sports as an adult. So for that moment, you hunt it, right?
And we make that up. That is your 100th career beer league shutout.
I don't know what the number is on that, but it's been, I am proud of my beer league. If someone was to be able to go track all of that somewhere across the place, I do think my game has aged pretty well. So I will say that.
Yes. So Bruce Boudreau on Algorithmically Incorrect yesterday. That is an impressive guest. What a storyteller and what a great hockey mind.
Yeah, that was awesome. So please go watch that if you haven't. Some great stories from Bruce. And then also Troy Bodie was also on as well, who's the GM of the Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Yeah.
Also some other really good stories. Really fun episode, kind of connecting some past and present of the AHL and then obviously some great stories there. So please go watch that, obviously. And Gavin, I know if you're listening to this show, we're in minute 37 or whatever it is. So anyone who's made it this far is clearly a Spits and Sud diehard. So continue to support this because this is, I've said it before, but I really believe it about what Gavin does and what his team has done, what his team have done over at the Fan, where they have put the money where their mouth is when it comes to raising hockey conversation, even though they don't have the rights. And Gavin, I know I'm not sure if I'm supposed to put you in that window. I'm the vigilante for hire who can say whatever he wants. So I'll say it, like 105.3 doesn't have the game broadcasts like another station in town and everything like that. And you guys continue to treat the Stars with their due diligence, and I think that's a pretty cool thing from a non-rights holder. So that's my talking point for the day.
No, I appreciate it. We had Brian Ray in studio yesterday. I repurposed it and sent that out. We're just going to continue. I'm so glad they're using Robert is appearing more and more now. So it's just, you've appeared several times. I mean, I love it because they need to be talked about because their popularity is growing. And so I'm really, this is not a force down. This is the guys on the radio station wanting to talk about Dallas Stars. And that's really cool to see. All right, let's go through it. Algorithmically Incorrect. We just mentioned it. It is a terrific YouTube podcast/videocast. You can get it, both of it. It's available via podcast and also videocast. So just subscribe any way that you would like to receive your video podcast. What a terrific time to support Sean with Shapshots. That is his Substack, and it is terrific. Sean was at the PWHL inaugural press conference for Detroit. And for those wondering, why can't Dallas get a team? Detroit showed out for several PWHL. I'm so happy the PWHL rewarded Detroit with a franchise. It's well-deserved for the just packed houses that they had in Detroit. So excited for Sean to help cover the PWHL in Detroit. Also for D Magazine and Elite Prospects, who do a great job. You want to find out, like, okay, who comes after Gavin McKenna? Elite Prospects is the place to be. And you can follow all of Sean's work. He always retweets it at Sean Shapiro. My friend, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, Gavin, I look forward to it, and we'll have some fun next week, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. We always do. All right, back onto the golf course for me. For producer Gregory Findlay, I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to the on-time experts for making this happen. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.